Blog Talk Radio.
Y'all ready for this?
Welcome to The Blitz here on Blog Talk Radio and UltimateSportsTalk.com. I am your host, Erica Lynn Anderson. It is great to be back after a hiatus for a couple weeks. I am joined by the ever-awesome Eric Brown and Nkeshi Free. Today we are going to be talking NFL news, remaining free agents, draft stuff, anything else that pops up. Plus, we will be talking about the first week of the women's game. Very exciting. We want to say a big congratulations to @Katie9Star. She won the $50 Victoria's Secret gift card, which we'll be mailing out to her. So thanks again to everybody who participated. We do have a new contest. So if you go to the No Joke Football Shop by April 24th, and you tell us what your favorite tee or hoodie and post the gear link on Twitter or Facebook, you will be entered to win. So, hello, Eric and Nkeshi. How are you guys?
Hey.
Hey, what's up? Doing good.
Good.
How are you guys?
How's your weekend been? Good. Good. Been muddling through some snow here. We got a bunch of, we got snowed like all day yesterday, so.
Again?
Fun. Yeah. We'll get some more. Well, it'll hit till June, but that's all right. We're used to it around here.
It does not really snow till June, does it really?
It does. We get snow the first week or two of June, we get snow. So.
Oh my gosh.
It doesn't
that's
stick
crazy.
Around, you know, it's real wet, but pretty used to it. So you can't usually plan outdoor stuff until July. That's when you know, okay, we're probably going to be all right. So, yeah. Hey, birthday parties. My daughter's birthday is beginning of June, and you cannot go to a park or you will be snowed or rained out. It will happen. So, indoor stuff.
Oh, wow.
Yeah. But,
That's awesome.
Yeah.
Miserable.
What's that, Eric?
So that would be absolutely miserable.
I actually don't mind it. I'm not a hot weather person, so I fit in okay here, you know, as far as the weather. So I'm okay, you know. I could see how other people would just be disgusted by it. you guys have busy weekends?
I did. I had a very busy weekend. Hung out with a really good friend and had a great weekend. Went to do something like I never do, which is like take some mommy time. And so I was like, just had a blast this weekend. I'm tired, but went to go see D.L. Hughley do a comedy show in Atlantic City. So that was awesome, amazing, fun. Had really, really good time, great friends, awesome weekend. And ready to talk some sports.
Sweet. How about you, Eric? You have a busy weekend?
Yeah, it was pretty busy. Yesterday, my daughter, who is a senior in high school, her dance team had performances on Thursday, Friday, and yesterday. So as part of the performance, the dads of the seniors were part of the show. So we got to get up on the stage and show our fabulous dance skills. So we had to, you know, we had rehearsals and all that. So, yeah, so we had that yesterday or last night. And,
I want tape.
It's out there somewhere.
Very cool.
And,
the things we do for
our kids,
we're
getting ready
kids,
to move,
right?
So.
Oh.
Yay, that's, exciting. You guys really are busy.
Yeah, I mean, it's never ending, so. It's.
Are you moving far within the city, or?
Yeah, we're be in the area, probably,
okay.
You know, maybe about 30, 40 minutes north of where we're at now.
Okay.
Just,
okay.
We can get, you know, more house for less money, so that's the main goal right now.
Here, especially because you have one going off to college.
Well, this will be the second one going to college, so, yeah, we're trying to, you know, be as smart as we can with each and every penny.
Absolutely.
Yeah, for sure. My weekend was pretty laid back. I got some stuff done, some homework and things, but overall, just kind of laid back and, you know, so it was nice.
Well, you know, here in D.C., the cherry blossoms are out. So right now, everybody's out, and the allergy and the pollen count are through the roof. But this is, like, the biggest week, one of the biggest weekends here in D.C. because, like I said, the cherry blossoms are out, and people have come from all over to see the cherry blossoms. And so this whole next week in D.C. is just going to be absolutely crazy bananas. So, but it's also a really, really great time to be here in the district. And now Nats baseball season has started, so... Of course, you know, I'm excited about that. I'm a huge Nats fan. I know people can't figure out how it is, but I love the Washington Nationals. I love the Washington Capitals, and I love my Washington Wizards, and I do not root for the Washington football team.
Yeah, there you go. I'm a Red Sox fan, and they beat the Yankees, so I can't ask for anything more. So,
oh, I know. That so early into the season.
Mhm. I'm okay with that. That's like if the Patriots only win like one game, two games all year, and it's the Jets, I'm happy. I am good to go. So.
Well, hopefully that will happen this year.
No, Eric, do not be throwing your hate my way or the Patriots. Everyone's gunning for us this year now. Being the defending champs, so.
Yeah, the world champs, the evil empire.
The evil empire, make it sound. Every time you say evil empire, I always hear that dun, 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 dun. I always hear Star Wars music.
Yep.
So, all right, go to the No Joke Football Shop today at Zazzle.com/GridironBeauties. Order your project apparel like leggings, hoodies, and cool tees. For working out, the weather's getting nicer, so, you know, if you're out there running and things like that, we have everything you guys need. Save 10% off if you use the code ORDERSHIP10. A reminder that every sale of the No Joke Football brand goes to help another player get noticed and recognized internationally through our photo shoots and social media platforms. We have players like Christy Moran, Lauren Evans of Gridiron Queensland, plus Moon Arandia and Sophia Van Bay of FXS Mexico and LIBF. Subscribe to our playlist at Gridiron Beauty's YouTube channel and witness girls playing American football like a girl. No joke football. We also want to remind you guys, we're going to throw some Twitter handles out here. You guys are going to make sure to follow these people. Follow the new Twitter for the LIBF. It's @1LIBF. And our network partner, @radio_IMAN on Twitter for updates and scores weekly. So final of the Caribbean Football League, please follow @BUCANERAS Bikini for updates. That's @ Bucarenas Bikini. You can get the LNFA Spanish League updates and stats at FIFA.es/LNFA. Use the hashtag LNFAFeminina on Twitter. You can follow @FIFA_Spain, FEFA_Spain for updates of matches on Twitter, and also follow @NFL Hispano. reminder to follow the Australia Women's Off-Season Update and keep up to date on the latest at LGL AUSC Gridiron Victoria Queensland ACT in New South Wales by following at Women's Gridiron and at LGL AUSC on Twitter. They also have a website that you're going to want to make sure to go to. That's WGLAUS.com, WGLAUS.com, for cool features and past stories. So hopefully you guys got all that down. If you didn't, there is a handy rewind button. So now on to week one in the women's game. We have some scores for you guys. The DC Divas had a big game. They beat the Columbus Comets 40-6. There were a lot of shutouts this week. The Chicago Force beat the West Michigan Mayhem 64-0 and put up their 100th franchise win. So congratulations to the ladies and the entire franchise. It's a huge accomplishment. The Seattle Majestics beat the Portland Fighting Phillies 20-0. The Houston Energy beat the Austin Yellow Jackets 45-0. And the Central Cal War Angels beat the West Coast Lightning 69-0. The San Diego Surge put up huge points this weekend as they beat the Pacific Warriors 73-31. So some big scores there. These women are playing amazing football. It was a nail-biter as the Chicago Bliss came out with a win against the Atlanta Steam. I believe there was a last field goal there, a close score of 27-24. A big shout-out to Chicago running back Chris Del Harris. She had a huge game, as did Jesse Locklear and Coco Montgomery for the Steam. You guys can catch a replay of the game next week on the @MyLFL YouTube channel. So you guys will definitely want to check that out. It sounds like it was an amazing game. It was really intense, so you definitely check that out, guys. The Pittsburgh Passion had a big game. They beat the Toledo Rain 66-0. The New York Sharks beat the Washington Prodigy 37-8. And so that does it for week one of the women's game. We had some huge scores. Congratulations to the teams that won and the teams that didn't. I'm sure you guys will get them next week. 41 days. Well, probably not 41 days, but there's not. It's the Western Women's Canadian Football League kicks off in Canada very soon. So you want to keep your eye on that. Keep up to date on news and updates by following our network on Twitter at Backseat Coach, at WSB Talk, at Miss Gridiron 9, at GI Queendom, at Radio_IMAN, and continue to share our info on women's tackle football full kit and non-full kit. We definitely appreciate that, and you guys will want to check that out. So that's women's news. You guys can follow our social sites on Twitter, @GridironBeauty, or Facebook.com/GridironBeauties. On Instagram, it is GridironBeauties. So we are going to talk miscellaneous NFL news, draft, remaining free agents, things like that. So let's get to it. So first, the big news this week was Troy Polamalu of the Steelers announced that he's retiring. So Eric, let's start with you. Were you surprised by his announcement?
No, I wasn't really surprised by it. I know some months ago the Steelers asked him to retire because they didn't want to bring him back, but they didn't want to cut him. They wanted to give him the honor of being able to say, okay, I've had enough, so to speak. But his announcement doesn't really surprise me. So, I mean, he was kind of on his last leg anyway, so to speak. So it's not really a surprise at all to me.
You think it was the right move for him?
Yeah, I think so. I mean, if somebody else does pick him up, I mean, he'd probably, just be a part-time player anyway. I don't foresee him starting unless it's for somebody that's, one of the bottom-tier teams in the league, which, mm-hmm. Having the career that he's had, I mean, I think it's best that he goes out now.
Mm-hmm. What about you and Tishy? What are your thoughts on him retiring?
Well, I agree with Eric that he definitely got to go and leave with his dignity and pride. I just really wish that he could have had just one more year and maybe even one more outstanding year as opposed to kind of limping out. I think that what Troy Polamalu has brought to the game in terms of skills, in terms of his intensity, his passion, as well as his ability to shut down offenses was nothing short of fantastic, not only as a fan, but for the sport itself. But he also brought something that has been much needed to the NFL, and that's integrity, and that's also teamwork and decency. And those are intangibles that you cannot measure. And I think that level of dignity and grace is something that fans have been yearning for. And so I think it's from a fan perspective, that's going to be to see someone with that level of class exit the game. You know, because we hear so much about the me mentality, and nothing about him has ever been that. He is nothing but a gentleman on and off the field in his conduct. And I think that those are intangibles that are going to be missing, as well as leadership in the locker room.
Yeah, I definitely agree with both of you. I think, you know, at least he's leaving on a high note. He didn't kind of pull Brett Favre and stay in the league longer than he needed to or should have. I think from here on out, we'll always refer to that as pulling a Brett Favre, coming back when you should have come back. So he got to leave at the top of his game, you know, like you guys said, with his dignity intact. So that him being in the AFC, it was a nightmare when the Patriots played against him. He was somebody that I was always thinking about, somebody that I knew he was one of those people, he's a game changer, you know. And I was just, despite the fact that I hated playing against him, I have immense respect for his abilities on the field, for his person off the field. And, you know, he's definitely a future Hall of Famer. And, you know, I hope that whatever he decides to do, you know, now that football, whether, you know, focusing on his family or whatever, that, you know, that he has huge success and happiness. I imagine it'd be hard to play a game, you know, have something be your focus in your career and for this long. It'd be hard to give it up. I imagine that decision was probably very difficult for him.
Yeah, I'm sure.
But, and, you know, did you guys see
the question is, when he does go into the hall, when they make his bust, are they going to make it with all that hair, or is it going to be more like an older
They have to have the hair. That's just like they did. That's just like worn with the braids. I'm sorry. You got to have the hair. Even if the hair goes like a little bit past the bust, or at least, you know, from the top of his head down to the bust, you got to have the hair.
Yeah. That's so funny. Yeah, you got to have the hair, I think. It makes whoever's making that bust their job a lot more difficult, but, you know, you got to have some accuracy there for sure.
Yeah, definitely.
So did you guys see how in the trade with Nagata ended up with the Lions? And did you guys see that it hit Twitter before the management even had a chance to tell Jim Caldwell about the trade? Did you guys see that?
No, I didn't see that.
Yeah, the Lions did a trade with the Ravens to get Nagata, and I guess while management's still on the phone finalizing everything, it ended up on Twitter, and the Lions, they hadn't even told Jim Caldwell yet about the deal. So, Jim Caldwell didn't even know yet, and it ended up on Twitter, so
ooh,
that's how Jim Caldwell had to find out, yeah.
That's
like, really bad. I want to know who the leak was. Yeah. So I was just thinking in my head about, can you imagine, like, Bill Belichick, if that would have happened in the Patriots organization, like, what Belichick
would have
done?
Oh, snap.
I know, yeah. It wouldn't have happened. Yeah, that's how the Patriots operate. But still, it's funny to think of.
Well, heads would definitely be rolling, we know that.
Oh, yeah. Belichick would not be a happy man. All right.
Well, because he'd have more say so.
Yeah, but Belichick would have more say so and input into who comes to his team, and there's no way that that type of decision would be made without his input. So the fact that the coach, I mean, is it that he didn't know they were going after him, or was it that he didn't, or was it that he just didn't, you know, that he just wasn't involved? Do you know what I'm saying? Because there's a difference between, I know we're going after him, but I don't know if it's confirmed, versus, whoa, wait a minute, I'm getting a new player.
No, so I think he knew they were probably going after him. I mean, I imagine he knew, you know, that they were going after him. It probably just wasn't official yet. They hadn't said, hey, we worked it out and he's here, or, like, he will be. But he
should have been involved in the process all the way through to working out the deal. I mean, I just can't imagine a coach not even being involved in the process of working out the deal. I don't know. Maybe I'm wrong. Eric has to give us some more insight into that.
Well, yeah, the coach isn't always necessarily involved in the particulars of the deal, unless he has more of like a GM role with the team. But, he would know, you know, if they're going after the guy, you know, where they are as far as the deal. Is it a done deal? But I'm sure whoever leaked it does not have, you know, that type of, you know, contact with the coach, per se. You know, with everybody's got social media now, so everybody wants to be the first one to, you know, put out stuff. So, I'd be willing to say he knew that they were going to get him. He just wasn't up to date as far as, you know, okay, it's a done deal.
Yeah.
Okay. I can see that.
So, let's talk draft, and not the draft in the sense of let's rehash the Winston Mariota. So everyone's so tired of that debate, and that's totally not where I want to go. Being that all three of us have very different tastes in football teams, let's talk about what you guys think your team's needs are. And Tishi, we'll start with you. Where do you think Dallas needs to concentrate on in the draft as far as positions that you feel maybe you guys are a little weak on O-line or, you know, whatever you feel like, you know, the Dallas needs to do? So go ahead.
Well, truthfully, I want to see more support in the secondary. I mean, with the exception of losing DeMarco Murray, I think we've done a really good job of beefing up the O-line and giving Romo the support that he needs on the offensive line, as well as giving him offensive weapons. But one of the areas that really showed up, especially in the loss to the Green Bay Packers, was that we were getting beat on the deep threat. And I really and truly would like to see something in the safety or maybe a cornerback in terms of in terms of what we've got in the secondary. I would have said a pass rusher, but we picked up Greg Hardy. So, you know, having someone that's going to be able to get off the line quick and be a defensive threat there is going to be great, but we're still getting beat on the deep coverage. So that, to me, would be the two areas, you know, the deep, the secondary. And I would still even look at a running back, and I would still look at, believe it or not, I would look at a quarterback. And the reason why, we have not had good backup for Tony Romo. The closest we've come was Kyle Orton, and then he even blew it in the one game he got to come in and play, and he blew it. So I'm kind of like, oh, you had one game. All you had to do was just beat the Eagles. So I would really and truly look at those, you know, look at those positions. I definitely, again, want to shore up the secondary, and then I would look at a running back and a really good backup for Tony Romo.
Okay. Eric, what about the Bears? What are you thinking?
Well, I think they definitely need to address the defense, which, I mean, they've started doing that day one, so I'm happy about that. So they've kind of started to shore up the D-line. They're getting some linebackers in there. My main concern is the secondary as far as the safeties and the corners. Of course, I don't know if you guys heard, but Peanut Tillman is now a Panther, so They don't have him at their disposal anymore. Mm-hmm. So they need to start, you know, looking at filling his spot. They got Antrell Roll as one safety, so they need to fill that other safety spot. And then going on offense, they definitely need to get someone in there for Brandon Marshall. Alshon Jeffrey is basically the same receiver, just younger. So they need somebody to complement him, somebody with some speed that's a deep threat, which they haven't had in a couple of years. Somebody that can stretch the field, give Matt Forte some room to be able to run and be able to do some other things on offense, not be so predictable. And then, of course, looking at either a possible replacement for Cutler or somebody that's going to push him and as far as a backup role. So I know some mock drafts coming out have projected Mariota going to the Bears at number 7. Don't see that happening, but I would kind of be intrigued if it did. I definitely wouldn't be disappointed, but I definitely would be, real interested to see how that situation would turn out.
Yeah, I've heard some rumors about that, about a possible trade with Cutler to the Titans, things like that. Like, we know a lot of that's rumors, and I don't know if there's any actual, anything giving that any credence, but that, they're talking about trading Jay Cutler and then going, it seems kind of risky to me to be a move you make. Who knows? I kind of heard whispers about that as well with Mariota to the Bears and,
Right.
I actually like Jay Cutler to the Titans. I think that because the Titans are in a rebuilding place, that I think that their expectations aren't maybe where the Bears' expectations would be. Not that the Bears aren't rebuilding as well, but the Bears don't want to rebuild with Jay Cutler. Whereas I think that Cutler could be a really good holding spot, for lack of a better term, for the Titans as they're in the process of rebuilding. It will give them, he's got enough, juice left in the tank and enough skills that he can help them. Besides, they're in a weak division anyway, so it's not like they have that many challenges. So I could honestly see him going to the Titans, helping them, get at least, to 500, maybe even a game or two over, and as they focus on, putting the rest of the other pieces together while they rebuild. I think that's a good move.
Well, and I think I heard that Cutler has ties to the coaching staff in Tennessee somehow. I don't know exactly what it is, but that there's maybe from college or something like that he knows somebody or is familiar with somebody on the Tennessee staff. Like I said, I'm not sure, but that's what I heard. So whether that's true or not, I have no idea. But, it's so crazy because, like we've talked about, not only is this about what player fits best in which system, but also a business, and there's contracts and money involved, and so they have to look at that side too. And Cutler just had that contract with Chicago, and so that has to be handled and seen how does that work out with trade him, and there's a lot of contingent things, I imagine, that they'll have to deal with. But all I have to say is I'm glad I am not on that side of the game, because that gives me a headache thinking about it. But I imagine the Bears, it would cost them quite, I don't know how do a direct trade, like, oh, hey, you can have our number 2 pick and you'll give us Jay Cutler. I don't know if that would be the case there, because I imagine if that's going to happen, then the Bears are pretty much saying we're going after Mariota. You know what I mean? I mean, that seems like a pretty – but if they trade Cutler, that means Mariota has to start right away, too.
Right.
I mean, they're hanging all of their hopes and dreams on Mariota. And I'm a big fan of Mariota. I really like him. But I think it's scary to just hang everything you have on a rookie quarterback and depending on him
Agreed.
To learn your system and, you know, hey, learn our system and start the season. It's,
well, but here's
know,
the problem. It worked great in Indiana for the Colts with Luck, and
yeah, but, you know, not everybody is Andrew Luck either. I mean, that's a huge, oh, we just lost in Casey, so she should be.
Yeah, I think we lost her.
But, you know, when Andrew Luck went to the Colts, I mean, Andrew Luck, he's one of those guys, he's kind of in a class all his own, you know. I would say that doesn't happen often when a rookie does that, that he's able to be that successful.
Yeah, he's definitely one of those once-in-a-generation type players. I mean, even before
yeah.
training camp started, he had the whole system down. And, you know, pretty much nobody does that anymore. So, if you take Mariota, you're saying, okay, this is our guy. The Bears aren't in a situation
mm-hmm.
where they need to totally tear everything down and rebuild. They just need to make a few tweaks on offense, get the defense rebuilt, and then, you know, let's hit the ground running. So if you do take him, I mean, it would have to be a situation where, you know, maybe he would be willing to sit behind Cutler for a year and then let Cutler go.
Mm-hmm.
But, you know, that's, like you said, I'm just glad I'm not on that side of the game. So,
yeah.
You know, trying to make those decisions.
Yeah, but here's the other thing we're
go
looking
ahead.
At. Well, here's the other thing that we're looking at, too, in terms of, you know, in terms of the Bears. They're number 7 in the draft. And not to be a Debbie Downer, you know, some of that conversation, could Bears be willing to trade up to number 2 to get Mariota? Because, of course, you know, rumor around here is that the Redskins are in the hunt because they're number 5. And we already know that they're not hung up on RG3, despite whatever they say in the public eye that they have to say, because that's what they have to say. We know that, you know, that Gruden and RG3 are not holding hands, roasting marshmallows, singing Kumbaya. That's just not happening. They are number 5. We know that Colt McCoy is a guy, and we know that Cousins really doesn't want to stay. So I could honestly see at number 5, if the Titans don't pick Mariota, I could see him falling to the Redskins. It's not like they have to really trade up far to get him. They've already traded up enough for RG3.
If Tennessee doesn't take him, Jacksonville's at number 3, they won't take him. Oakland won't take him. And Redskins, and right behind the Redskins, you have the Jets, and that's been a big thing, too, is the Jets. And then behind the Jets, you have the Bears. So, you know, I don't know.
I mean, you've got,
you've got
5, 6, and 7, both. Well, you've got teams 5, 6, and 7 all needing quarterbacks.
Yeah. Well, yeah, I feel like the Redskins, it's not as vital for them as it is for, let's say, the Jets, or, you know, it's, you know, the Redskins, I feel like, I don't know, I think that RG3 isn't, yeah, he's had some injury issues, but I feel like he hasn't gotten the best end of the deal in Washington.
I think
that he could be really successful in Washington if the coaching staff would allow him to be him and give him some supporting staff and let him play, you know.
And I agree with you that RG3 is not getting the support he needs. Or the other problem is that RG3 wants to be a pocket passer. You know, that's what we're hearing is that, well, let me rephrase that. The thing is that he's been trying to play as a pocket passer. Let me backtrack and say he's been trying to play as a pocket passer. Now, I don't know if that's because he wants to prove himself or if that's what he's being asked to do. I think, and if we were also talking about teams moving, I could see RG3 as a good viable option in Tennessee as well.
Yeah,
I think that
if you have a – what was that, Nkishi?
Oh, no, I was listening. Go ahead.
Oh, no, I say if you have a guy like RG3 who is successful when he plays type of game, it's frustrating when coaches try and change a player to play how they want them to play, because they're not going to be as successful. They don't feel comfortable trying to play that way. Can RG3 throw the ball? Sure, yes. He can pass. Is he a pocket passer? No, he's not a pocket passer. Anybody that has a brain in their head can look at the guy and go, he's not a pocket passer. He's a dual threat. He's fast. He can move. And you need to allow him to do that, or you are going to get the issues you're having with him, you know. I've seen it, honestly. I don't know if you guys follow, like, watch Notre Dame football, but Notre Dame does the same thing with their quarterback, Everett Golson. Brian Kelly, for some reason, has this pie-in-the-sky idea, hey, let's make Everett Golson a pocket passer. Everett Golson isn't a pocket passer. Why does he lose games? Because he's trying to play a game that's not his. He's trying to play a style that, you know, it's just not him, you know. So I get trying to improve players, but you can't improve them by making them something that they aren't. You know what I mean?
Yeah. So I've been saying that all along about RG3. He's kind of stuck between a rock and a hard place, because he's not necessarily a pocket passer at this point, but he doesn't have the durability that you need if you're going to be running around. So it's like,
that's
do you
true.
Keep running around and keep getting injured, or do you stay in the pocket but you're not as effective? So one of those things he's going to have to improve on. It's much easier to improve on being a pocket passer, because a lot of times you can't really control, you know, what type of injuries you get. But you
I
can control.
Well, you know what, Eric, you brought up a really good point, and I think RG3 is almost like in the same rock and a hard place where Michael Vick finds himself as a quarterback, except that RG3 is in that situation much earlier in his career. What do you think?
Yeah, definitely. I mean, Michael Vick was going to the Pro Bowl at this point in his career because he was able to stay healthy enough to be able to be able to make those plays. RG3's problem is, or biggest problem is, he can't stay healthy. So he's not able to be out there to get the playing experience to be able to start racking up, successful game after game after game. But, yeah, I mean, they're kind of in the same boat. Michael Vick, I can't remember the last – I think he's only had, one full season out of, 10, 12 years he's been playing. So, I mean, they're almost
very
the same guy, basically.
Yeah, and, you know, and honestly, that brings up kind of – so the big names, you know, I pulled some big names that are free agents right now. If you guys think of any extra ones that I didn't include, feel free to bring them up. But these are people that, you know, we have heard about for seasons that, you know, they're legitimate, successful players that haven't been signed yet. And Michael Vick is one of them. So, and Kishi, we'll start with you. Michael Vick being a free agent, do you think it's time for him to just call it a career, or do you think he should kind of stick it out and play the backup role? Because I can't imagine anyone at this point who signs him is going to sign him as a starting quarterback. What do you think?
I agree. I think that he should just go on ahead and accept the backup role. And, again, I look for teams where they don't have a strong quarterback system where he could go in and be a viable backup. I would look at Tennessee. I would look at Tampa Bay. I would I definitely would not look at Chicago. And this is going to, again, I think that quarterbacks who are often injured should not play in cold weather areas, just because eventually down the line, especially ones with outdoor fields, eventually down the line, you are really going to see those problems. And, you know, another place where he actually might be a nice backup is in Minnesota. They have the dome, but Minnesota's still trying to figure out what they're going to do, but they're rookie quarterback. So, you know, he could be a really good asset up there as that backup, but also that veteran to help, you know, guide their new young quarterback. So I could see him in Minnesota. I could see him in Tennessee with the Titans. Again, I could see him in Tampa Bay with the Buccaneers. And I wouldn't even mind having him in Dallas as a third-string quarterback. I do mean third, not second, just because he's been injured too often. But I definitely could see him even in Dallas as a third string.
Okay. Eric, what do you think Hakeem Nicks?
I'm sorry, you said Hakeem Nicks?
Yeah, what do you think?
Let's see. I think he's one of those guys that, you know, can probably, you know, latch on somewhere and keep playing and still be effective. I don't think it's, you know, time for him to, you know, really call it a career yet. I think he's still got some things to offer, you know, even if not, you know, a starting receiver, you know, somebody that can be maybe a number three that can still, you know, kind of, you know, teach and, you know, tutor, so to speak, the other receivers around him and help make them better, and at the same time still be, you know, a key guy in, you know, someone's offense. So, yeah, I think he should, you know, probably latch on somewhere.
So do you see it as kind of a definitely a reduced role, probably?
Probably.
Like, than what he's been used to?
Probably, but I can also see a situation where maybe somebody gets injured and he has to, you know, be that veteran guy that they're relying on. But I think, you know, initially mm-hmm. it'd be, you know, someone where he'd be more so like a number two or number three guy in an offense.
Mm-hmm. Okay. And Kishi, what do you think about Greg Jennings? He's still a free agent.
Yeah, that one also surprised me too. And it, because I guess it's just like 2 years ago, I mean, he was like the man up there in Green Bay. I think that he has to be willing to accept that he might need to be a number two guy as well, and that because of his position and the injuries, I honestly don't know how much more time he has, but like Hakeem Nicks, I think that he probably has at least maybe two more good years in him, but as long as he's not in the starting role, just so that he doesn't have to play so many minutes and he doesn't have to carry mm-hmm. as much of the load or the responsibility. So, again, I wouldn't go to a team like the Patriots, for example, because they're so loaded, they wouldn't need him. But I would go to a team maybe like the Jets, you know, where, again, they need a little – where you have a quarterback that needs a little more assistance, maybe needs some more of that veteran leadership. I would even say, again, Tampa Bay would be mm-hmm. another good place for him. And, again, maybe even the Titans. I think that a lot of the guys who we see who are still who are still free agents, a lot of them should be looking at teams that are transitioning and look at themselves as a transitional leadership and a transitional leadership position as they, you know, help mentor the next generation coming along but still have the ability to have an impact on the field.
Yeah. So this is one I'm going to tackle because you'll know why when you hear the name. Wes Welker is a free agent still. So, everybody will recall, a couple years ago with New England Patriots, it was an absolute frenzy for Wes Welker. For good reason, he had immense success in New England with Tom Brady and obviously the whole deal, and he ends up in Denver. And Welker's issue now is he's got a major concussion issue. It's actually really sad. This makes me sad because Wes Welker is a phenomenal wide receiver. He really kind of made the, you know, when New England started doing the whole slot receiver with him, it seemed like it really brought that back. You know, you kind of saw the potential there with those little slot receivers. And it's sad that he's still a free agent. I worry for him because we all know how troubling when you have consistent concussions, when you start getting them all the time. It's different when a guy's like got this nagging knee injury or, oh man, the guy's always injuring his bicep. I mean, this is different. This is your head. This is your brain. And, you know, I've heard people talking about him retiring. I don't know that we'll see that, but I think that Welker now has to go to maybe doing kickoffs, you know, kick returns, maybe like a special teams player, because I really worry about him being a slot receiver. And as far as on the offense, that's pretty much what he's qualified for. I mean, that's what you use a guy like Walker for. And I see that that's why Denver didn't try to re-sign him, is because he's useful in the slot anymore. So I could see him being a special teams player, or every once in a while, maybe like on third down or something like that, slot receiver, but I don't see that he will ever be able to be that consistent go-to guy like he was for Brady and like he was for Manning for that first season after he got there.
Yeah, I think if he would be willing to accept a reduced role, like you were talking about, special teams, returning kicks or punts, or, possibly being a number or three guy, or possibly even a number four guy, if he'd be willing to accept that, then, yeah, I think somebody would snatch him up right away. But if his mentality is, no, I'm a starter, and, I'm not taking anything less, then I think it's about time for him to hang it up then, because I don't see anybody really jumping at the chance to take him, especially given his recent injury issues with concussions.
Yeah, absolutely. The NFL is not – the NFL teams now, they're under so much scrutiny that no team wants to be the team that says, oh, my God, Wes Welker ended his career with us because he got hit. And that's that's the legacy. You don't want to be that team with that player. And I absolutely agree with you. And what you and Eric have both said is that, one of the things that made Wes Welker great was, he was willing to go into the slot, but he was also willing to take the hit. You have Deion talking about, nah, that's a business decision. I'm not going to take that hit, And I get it because clearly it was a business decision and it contributed to the longevity of his career, whereas you have someone little like Welker who's willing to go in, take the hit, go for the ball, wasn't afraid to run across the middle, and then once he beat you on the outfield with those legs, he was gone. So, he's going to either have to take a reduction. Oh, my God, he's very fast. So he's either going to have to be willing to take the reduction or be willing to take a different role. But now with all of the conversations that they're having right now or they were having recently about changing the game and the rules, and, a lot of people are even trying to do away with kickoffs and punt return teams, I don't even know how much longer some of them are going to have jobs. So I don't even know if that's a position that would be viable for him at this point in his career.
Oh, snap. Goodell, you better expect some hate mail from me if that happens. I'm so tired of rule changes. Impromptu rant. I am not even kidding you. Oh my gosh. If it happens, I will stage, it'll be like that. What was that? Occupy Wall Street? Except it'll be like Occupy Goodell's office. I will just be like, that is it. I've got food and I could be here for 10 years, man. It is on. So, sorry about that. I had to get that out. I'm so tired of rule changes. Anyway.
Oh, I know. I agree.
Welker, if you're listening, I could pretend. Come on back to the Patriots. I would love to see Welker in a Patriots uniform again. I don't care if he isn't what he was. I want to see Welker in a Patriots uniform again. I love that guy. So, that would be awesome.
Well, maybe have the opportunity to do like some of the other guys and just play, sign a one-day contract and then retire with the Patriots when that day comes.
I've heard about the Dolphins interested, and I'm like, the Dolphins better stay away. I don't want him in my division. Oh, my gosh. I would freak out. Oh, that would be terrible. All right. Eric, Reggie Wayne, what do you think?
See, at first I was thinking, yeah, he should hang him up. But then after that, I was thinking, well, maybe, hang around for another year, see what will happen. Maybe somebody will pick him up, after the season starts. But now I'm thinking, he's had a good career. I think he should just go out the way things are now. And, that way you'll have more of when you think of Reggie Wayne, you think more so of him with Peyton Manning. So I think, you know, he should go out with that, not take a risk of, you know, tarnishing that and, you know, just like so many other guys that stay around too long, end up with, you know, go two, three different teams and you know, kind of retire into obscurity. But, I think he should go out now.
I agree with that. And Kishi, Dwight Freeney.
That one really has me perplexed, because Dwight Freeney still has a lot in him, you know, as a defensive end. And I'm still, you know, at a loss to figure out why, you know, he has not been able to get picked up. I mean, there are a lot of teams who are definitely in need of a quality pass rusher, and I think that he still brings much to the table. I know he's had some issues, you know, off-field stuff, but that does not mean that he doesn't have and bring value. And especially teams who are getting blown up water defensively, teams who really need to bulk up their defense, I would have to say Miami. I know that's your division rival, but I would have to say Miami would be a good fit. I could even say the Rams would also be a really good fit for him. But I definitely think there's a lot of teams who need to improve defensively who could get, you know, at least I would say he should be able to get at least a good 1 year prove himself contract. And then after that year, if he proves himself, sign for a 2 year contract and then just slide on out the door gracefully.
Mm-hmm. I think that sounds like a solid plan for him. I think he definitely has to be thinking of how he wants to go out now. He's not mid career, you know, he's on the back end of it. And he definitely has to have a plan in place for what he wants, how he wants to exit and who he wants to exit with. I think that's a solid plan. I agree. All right. Last big name free agent, Eric, Michael Crabtree.
I think definitely he's got some gas left in the tank. He can definitely help somebody out. The question is, you know, make him a number one. And, you know, also the quarterback that you have, you know, are they going to be a good fit? But, I mean, just as far as him personally, definitely, you know, try to get, you know, whatever team you can get to, you know, definitely try to work that out. He can definitely be a superstar.
You know, I could see Crabtree fitting in at the Patriots, to be honest. You know, we've got Edelman, but Crabtree's kind of offers, you know, that kind of deep threat, I guess, right? And so I could see him fitting in at somewhere like the Patriots. I mean, we've kind of got a revolving door of wide receivers. But I could see, you know, that being like a solid relationship there. So I think I will call Belichick tomorrow and let him know that that's what he needs to do.
Okay, now, after you guys had Randy Moss for your deep threat, I haven't seen Tom Brady throw that many deep threat balls. So in as much as I agree that Michael Crabtree is a fabulous deep threat, I think that he needs to go to a quarterback with a deep arm. And I think that while I think most of the other guys we've talked about, I can see them going to teams that are in the rebuilding stages, you know, even a Rams, a Titans, a Buccaneers, a Dolphins even, you know. Crabtree is the one player I would not send to a rebuild team. I would send him to a team that has solid offense where he's going to bring value. Now, is he a number one? No. He's definitely a number two. I don't see him starting every game, but I do see him starting some games. I also see him maybe being on the other side of the field with another great wide receiver. I will tell you, especially since Greg Jennings isn't coming back to Packers, I could see him with Aaron Rodgers. As much as, now you know I love my Cowboys, and to have, you know, to have, because but we've already got Cole Beasley, who's, you know, kicking butt and taking names, so we're happy with him. You know, we've got Dez. So I can't see Crabtree and Dez on the same team. That's just too, you know, even for my Cowboys. But I could definitely see him fitting in with an Aaron Rodgers, so that veteran leadership, you know, but also someone who's got the arm to get him the ball. What do you think?
Well, I think, I mean, I think that, I mean, Brady still has, because, you know, I've seen, I mean, Brady throws deep passes to Gronk, right?
Mm-hmm.
I mean, he still has the arm. I think that people mistake the fact that he doesn't throw the deep ball a lot, that he doesn't have it.
Have the arm, right.
I think, yeah, I don't think it's that. I honestly think that we don't, I don't think since Randy Moss, we haven't really had a deep, you know, one that's
no.
really consistent. And I think that if we could get that, I think that we could see kind of the return of the deep pass. You know what I mean? I mean, because Brady
right.
hasn't injured his arm or hasn't done anything since Randy Moss left to kind of lose that. I just think that we haven't, you know, because there's been
no,
some
you
times
haven't
this
had
season
it.
where yeah, he's thrown those balls to Gronk. But Gronk's a tight end, and Gronk's great, but we need a receiver that can catch those passes, you know? And obviously,
well,
Edelman isn't that guy. Edelman's great. For what Edelman's kind of role in the Patriots, he's phenomenal, and he's perfect at what he does, but he's not our deep threat guy, you know?
No.
Amendola, you don't want him down the field. He'll trip and he'll break his arm. I mean, it's like you gotta be careful with that guy. I mean, you need the bubble. I would love to see somebody like Crabtree. I don't know. Be interesting.
Well, if you look at the Patriots offense, they really haven't needed a deep threat. I mean, you know,
no.
they've done fine with, you know, just throwing, you know, 5 yard outs, 10 yard. You know, skinny posts and you know, just pick up an extra 5-6 yards for the first down and just keep on going.
Mm-hmm. Because at the end of
the
day, it's more important to get the yards. At the end of the day, it's more important to get the yards, not how many yards you can get at one time. As long as you can keep moving the chain at the end of the day, then that's the name of the game, and it's progress. And I think that, unfortunately, so many, because we're such a pass-happy league and all we care about are yards and numbers and stats, that's what we're looking for is, oh, my God, he threw that pass, and he threw a 30-yard pass, and everything is a 30-yard and a 20-yard. Guess what? Slow and steady wins the race. Clearly, you guys have a run.
Mm-hmm.
But, you know, but I think that Eric's right in that you haven't had a need to, but it's nice to have the option to.
Exactly, yeah. So I'll talk about just the Patriots' needs. Obviously, everybody saw that Stephen Ridley went to the Jets. Boo! I'm not against Stephen Ridley leaving, but I am against him leaving to the Jets. Oh, my gosh. Makes me want to vomit. But there you go. There you have it. I am all for LeGarrette Blount getting out. Just go away. He got suspended again. This guy is so much trouble. I get that he had some fantastic games when he started playing with us again, but I think that the team needs to look at how much trouble can we put up with from this guy. So I don't see him as being super reliable, to be honest. Vereen's gone. So the Patriots need a running back. They need a reliable, solid, non-injury-prone running back, and that I would love it if we could get a Melvin Gordon, a Todd Gurley, somebody like that. Oh, that would be just beautiful. I don't know if they'll last that long for the last pick, but those two guys I could see in the draft being solid, solid running backs. I've seen both of them play, and they're pretty phenomenal, especially Melvin Gordon. I really like him. But like I said, we pick last, so who knows whether that could happen.
You may not want Melvin Gordon, though.
Why is that?
Because he's had some fumbling issues, and if you have those issues with Belichick, you don't make it to the field.
Oh, that's true. Oh, did he have some fumbling issues? I didn't realize that. I mean, I've seen him play, but I don't see him fumble, I guess, in the games that I watched him in.
Yeah, I mean, he's had some tremendous games, but and I forget, I have to pull up his exact stats, but I know amongst top running backs, he's also at the top as far as fumbling the ball. So that's got to be an issue that he's going to have to fix.
Belichick doesn't like that. He's anti-fumbling.
No.
Todd Gurley's good, too. You know, he had that issue in Georgia with the accepting money for autographs. But, you know, playing style-wise, I think he's pretty solid. I don't know a ton about him, but I know he was decent in Georgia.
He's coming off a torn ACL.
Oh, that's right. Gosh. Scratch those, man. We need a running back. That's all I know. We need a running back. So we listen to me, but we do need that position filled. And we unfortunately need to fill Will Fork's spot. Makes me sad, but we need D linemen. And so I'd say those were our two big ones we need to fill. We re-signed Chandler Jones. I was the happiest person in the world. So, Chandler Jones. Anyway, I'm out of my mind. That is all I can think of for the Patriots. Do you guys have any, did I miss any players that you guys can think of as far as free agency?
Well, I want to talk about a couple of guys. I think Eric and I may have talked about this, Erica, while you were gone, but I can't remember. Did we talk about Patrick Willis announcing his retirement? Eric, do you remember? Did we discuss that, or did that happen?
I don't think we discussed that. I think that was a good few weeks ago.
Okay. Yeah, I think that was because we've had to do several shows. So, yeah, that one, I just want to say that one just really was a shock to me. You know, because I know since we're talking about, we talked about Troy, I really thought Patrick Willis had at least another year or two in him. And I just was surprised to see him announce. I mean, I don't really remember any major injuries or anything. So that one kind of surprised me. And Torrey Smith going to the 49ers, you know, leaving Baltimore. And then Reggie Bush going to the 49ers. And I don't know why these 49er players are intriguing me, you know, in terms of what they're doing, because clearly that's not my team. However, those are surprising moves for me. Am I the only one?
Well, Patrick Willis definitely surprised me.
You said it surprised you?
Yeah, that surprised me because I was thinking he had another, well, he probably does, but I was assuming, you know, just another, you know, 3-4 good years in. So it's always surprising when somebody like that, you know, decides to tap out at the top of their game. I mean, I can understand the reasons why, but, yeah, it was a pretty big shock to me.
Yeah, I think, it was a surprise. And then but once you read kind of what, you know, the reasons he retired, it makes sense, I guess. I think he felt like he wasn't at the top of his game anymore and he didn't feel comfortable playing. And you know, he says that his health comes first, you know, as far as being there for his kids and things like that. I don't know if he has kids, but he kind of was saying how he wants to be able to walk after he retires, you know, and that he just doesn't feel like his health is at a place where he can be, contribute 100% to like he was, you know.
Right.
Made sense. But I think it was a big shock to everybody because it didn't, I mean, yeah, like, you know, he missed some games, like in 2014, he missed, 10 games or something like that because of his health. But you figured, oh, he'd get healthy, he'd come back.
Right.
But, and then he says no, and, yeah, it was a surprise.
I mean, I knew, that's what I'm saying, like, I mean, I knew that he had a few, you know, but it was really more of one season. It wasn't like something that was perpetual and ongoing. And that's why I felt like Eric. I'm like, well, yes, he was getting toward the downside, but I think I was surprised that he left so soon. I too would have figured that he would have done
maybe 1-2 more years, you know, in the league. So, yeah, that one, that was a definite a surpriser. But, I mean, I get it, but I too, felt it. I was a surprise and a shock.
Yeah.
Well, on another note, that's also a testament to the money that these guys are making nowadays, because, you know, back in the 70s, parts of the 80s, when they were only making, you know, $30,000, $40,000 a year, you know, they were just played till the wheels fell off. So now they can actually make decisions like, well, you know what, I'm not so interested now. Let me just bow out now. You know, so, yeah, just on another note.
Yeah, and who was that other player from the 49ers that retired after one season? What was that about?
He had head injuries. Yeah, didn't he have his issues?
He was worried about his health.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Yeah. I mean, I respect those guys though that they're able to step back. That, you know, there's a lot of people that make the game the most important thing, and they do jeopardize their health. You know, that these guys are able to have the maturity to step back and say, you know what, it's not worth it. It takes a lot of courage, you know.
But now, if you're gonna retire after 1 year, someone who's going to do something like that, they either, A, made a lot of money really fast, really soon, so that they could retire, or that's probably someone with a degree that actually finished school that has other options.
Oh, yeah.
Because
I imagine.
I don't see the guys who left school, never went back, never finished their degree, having necessarily all of those types of options available to them afterward. And, you know, and a lot of people don't know this, but everyone says, oh, well, after I finish, I'll go into coaching. No, if you don't have a college degree, you can't coach in the NFL. And a lot of people don't know that. And that is why a lot of players don't necessarily go and become NFL coaches, because they didn't finish school to get those degrees to coach. So, again, people who are really limiting themselves in terms of their after-the-game options in the first place. They're already kind of starting off in the hole by not getting that degree.
Yeah. So I just read something, though, that's super funny. Michael Bennett, you know, the D lineman from Seattle. So I guess when Seattle played New Orleans at the time when Jimmy Graham played for him, that Michael Bennett called Graham soft and the most overrated player in the NFL. So then somebody asked him, now that Graham's playing for his team, if he had changed, and he goes, nope, I still feel the same way.
Yeah, I read that the other day.
That was so funny. Just because he's on my team, I don't stop feeling that way. I'm like, oh, my God.
That is so funny.
Anyway.
But I love that honesty.
Yeah.
Well, actually, the further in the interview, he did kind of soften his stance just a little bit, but yeah, he still maintains that you know pretty much I don't like him.
Yeah, he's like, we're gonna, you know, he's like, we're a running team, so he's gonna have to block, and I don't feel as harsh as I did because he's my teammate, but he's like,
right.
Yeah. So anyway, I just thought that was kind of funny that he's like so.
No, I totally agree.
Anyway.
I told Eric. Eric and I discussed this with you, Erica, but I'd like to get your feedback. I'm really disheartened that we picked up Darren McFadden, because Darren McFadden to me is someone who is so underachieved, is so underwhelmed, who is like a flash in the pan. You see these moments of greatness, but then he's sidelined for 2 weeks. Then you see a moment of greatness for 4 plays and in a game, and then he's sidelined for another 3 weeks. And I just cannot figure out why they would sign him. And then they didn't even just sign him to a 1-year deal. They signed him to a 2-year deal. But you let DeMarco Murray go. That one really just totally blew me.
I'm with you on that. That Darren McFadden, he's just not somebody that's ever going to be number one material. He doesn't have the consistency, the durability. He doesn't have it. And You know, I mean, if I'm sorry, but if you can't make it work at the Raiders, you probably got major issues. And, you know, and a 2-year deal, like you said. I mean, I could see signing it a 1-year deal, say, let's see how you do. Can we get these injuries? Can we get these issues under control? And then we'll go from there. But a 2-year deal, that's just way too much time for a guy who hasn't really ever proved himself in the league,
exactly,
to me, as far as he's been in there. So
yep,
that I could see as a Cowboys fan how you'd be upset about that, definitely. I'm still waiting to hear about Adrian Peterson going to Dallas. I keep waiting to hear it.
Okay, I'm not gonna lie, I was intentionally avoiding that conversation. I mean, I know we have to
we are running out of time, but I honestly wouldn't be surprised. I would not be surprised if he ended up in Dallas.
No, I wouldn't either.
Especially since Romo restructured his contract.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
I think it'd be a good fit for everybody, too. I really do. I think that for Adrian Peterson, I think it'd be the best place for him. That's my opinion.
Yes.
Dallas needs a guy like AP, and AP needs out of Minnesota. So,
I mean, I'm not going to lie. I said it. I did say we needed a running back, but, you know, it would definitely increase ticket sales, that's for sure.
Yeah, he would. Well, I think that does it for us, unless you guys have any closing remarks.
No, I'm good. I think this is another awesome show, and I think that, you know, we all touched on some really good points, and we're just, I guess now it's just countdown to the draft.
I know, right? How about you, Eric?
No, I'm good. I think that's, you know, pretty much it. Just ready for the draft, ready to get all these mock drafts over. These drive me crazy. So I'm just ready to get onto the draft.
One
Don't you give Erica
draft.
Her rant early. I'm not looking at any of them. I refuse to look at a single mock draft. I don't want to know what anybody thinks. I don't care what anybody thinks. At the end of the day, I care about what they do. So I literally have decided I'm shutting down. I'm not looking at a single mock draft, nothing. I don't want to mock. I just want to know, who did you pick? That's what I care about. I want to sit down in front of the TV that day with some popcorn and say, who did you pick? Truthfully, I wish we could be there so we could do it in person, and then we could live tweet about it. That would be awesome. Oscar, are you listening?
Right? I throw popcorn at somebody. Godell would get up there, and I'd throw popcorn at him.
that's my hometown, you know, so I know all the good hangout spots. You know, we can go, you know, hang out, watch the draft. All the good food
places.
That happened.
Oscar, are you listening? Get us some passes. Look, Oscar, get us some passes. We'll get there. You just get the passes.
Yeah. Hey, I don't read them either, and I'm mocking the mock draft. Okay, that's all I gotta say. I mock the mock draft. And can somebody please give Mike Mayock a job? Just give him something to do, because he obviously's got too much time on his hands. He's releasing a freaking mock draft every 12 hours. Give the guy a job. Somebody give him a job. He needs something to do.
Absolutely.
Every 12 minutes.
I have one quick question. Where did Percy Harvin end up, you guys? Since I know they sent the Jets from Seattle, and I know the Jets released him. Did someone pick up Percy Harvin? I can't remember. I'm sorry. I just thought about that.
Percy Harvin.
Okay, that's right.
Yeah, that's right.
Mm-hmm. And they have no quarterback to throw it to him, so I don't know what he's going to do. Whatever. So, the Bills need a quarterback. Because Orton retired, so I don't know what they're
going to do. You're not sold on Manuel?
No. Who sold on Manuel? That's what I want to know. Who sold on him? Him and Geno Smith, I swear they're like two peas in a pod, those two. But, hey, keep them, because I'm all about it. My division, I'm all about that. Keep Smith and Manuel. I'm good with
right
that.
Where they are.
Right where they are. You keep building your sucky franchises, too. Makes it easier for us. Anyway, I probably shouldn't say that, because it would be nice to have some competition in the division. It would actually, because when people are like, oh, Patriots fans go, were AFC East champions. I'm like, do not brag about that. That is not an accomplishment because our division is one of the worst. It's one of the least competitive in the league. So that is not something I brag about. So it would be nice to be able to brag again about being the AFC East champ. You know what I mean? So
that's true.
Yeah. All right. Well, that does it for another awesome edition of The Blitz here on Blog Talk Radio and UltimateSportsTalk.com. We appreciate you guys hanging out with us and listening to our rants and comments and opinions. I want to remind you to check out Gridiron Girl. It's at Gridiron Girl Org on Twitter and GridironGirl.org for college news, pro football news, all that kind of stuff. When I record videos, I do put them up on the site. You can also check out my YouTube channel. The link should be on my Twitter, which is at PastFangirl12. You can also follow in Kishi at Kishi's Cuties, and you can follow Eric at Fit for Life. Life is spelled with a Y. We tweet about sports and other awesomeness. You're definitely going to want to follow us. Plus, the new contest, a reminder, go to the shop, tell us which is your favorite tea hoodie, post your gear link on Twitter or Facebook, for a chance to win by April 24th. You can catch me, during the NFL season, at Cover 3, that's Cover, the number 3, then the word 3 spelled out during the NFL season. We do those. Cover 3 is awesome. And obviously, like I mentioned, my rants on YouTube. So we just want to give a big, huge thanks to everyone for their support, for listening weekly. We appreciate it. And I know Eric and Kishi also appreciate your guys' support. So we will catch you next Sunday for another exciting edition of The Blitz here on Blog Talk Radio and UltimateSportsTalk.com. Have a great evening, everybody, and have an awesome Monday. Bye, everybody.
Bye.
Bye-bye.